Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Today we begin traveling through the book of Numbers. We'll find God preparing his people to enter the promised land. Here's Stephen Davey with today's lesson.
As we begin our journey through the Old Testament book of Numbers, I think I can hear some of you saying, oh no, the book of Numbers. Can any good thing come out of Numbers? Well, maybe that's because we're intimidated by numbers, especially if you're like me back in high school where I failed Algebra 1 and had to take it over again in summer school in order to get into college, and I barely passed that course to get into college on probation. I had a problem with numbers. Now, how did a book of the Bible get a title like Numbers? Well, the simple answer is that many centuries ago, when the Old Testament was translated from the Hebrew language into the Greek language, the Greek translators gave this book the name Arithmoi. And that gives us our word arithmetic, and it's translated into English as Numbers. Now, this title was chosen because a national census, a numbering of the people, opens the book, and another census occurs all the way at the end of the book. The Hebrew title of this book is Bemidbar, which means in the wilderness. And that name was chosen because chapter 1 and verse 1 opens this way. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. Now, everything that takes place in the book of Numbers is entirely in the wilderness. Now, for Moses and the people of Israel, the Sinai wilderness was a place of great challenge and discipline. Sometimes we find ourselves in our own kind of wilderness of our own making. There are other times God leads us into a wilderness to strengthen our faith. But for all of us, the way out of the wilderness is to trust and obey the Lord. Because Israel is going to fail to do that, they're going to spend a long time here in the wilderness. Now, the only survival skills you need in the wilderness is trust in the will of God and obedience to the Word of God. Well, right here at the beginning of this book, we have the very first numbering of Israel, and we're given the reason for it. The Lord speaks here in verse 2. Take a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel by clans, according to the number of names, every male from 20 years old and upward, all in Israel, who are able to go to war. Now, that's because Israel was facing war with all the nations of the people who lived here in Canaan, the land God had promised to give to the children of Abraham centuries earlier, and to which he's now leading them. The Canaanites who lived in the land had polluted it with wickedness and idolatry. And now these wicked nations knew what was coming. They knew who was coming their way. In fact, they could have chosen to lay down their weapons, repent of their sin, and submit to the God of Abraham. But they're not about to do that, just as the world today is not about to surrender their lives to the Lord. They'd rather fight God and lay down their arms and follow his leadership. So here, the Lord is numbering his people in preparation for war. Now, from this verse all the way down to the end of the chapter, here around verse 46, the men capable of joining the army are numbered at just over 600,000 men. And the rest of this chapter explains that the tribe of Levi, Israel's priestly tribe, is going to be exempt from military service. And that's because they've been assigned to take care of the tabernacle, their vocational ministers, so to speak. Now, as we move into chapter 2 of Numbers, there's definitely a military tone to what the Lord is saying here. Verse 2 says this, "The people of Israel shall camp, each by his own standard, with the banners of their fathers' houses." We're told here then that each tribe essentially has its own logo, so to speak, embroidered on its own tribal flag. And now, the rest of the chapter tells how the camp is to be arranged with the tabernacle in the middle. and three tribes encamped on the east, three tribes on the west, and so on and so forth. We're also given this little detail here. Notice at the end of verse 2, they shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. Now, the tent of meeting is just another name for the tabernacle. This is the place where the visible presence of God is manifested in this pillar of smoke and of fire. Every tribe is to be positioned so that the flap of every household tent opens toward the presence of God. They can't possibly start their day without seeing the cloud of God's presence. They couldn't go one day without being reminded that God was their commander in chief. He was personally leading them on this journey through the wilderness to the promised land. Now, in chapters 3 and in chapters 4, the military tone is sort of set aside, and the focus is on the tabernacle and the worship of God. Now, chapter 3 begins by identifying the two remaining sons of Aaron. They're going to be ordained into the priesthood. And the rest of chapter 3 focuses on the descendants of Levi. We're given here in verse 8 their specific job description. Here it is. They shall guard all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and keep guard over the people of Israel as they minister at the tabernacle. Then what we have here in chapter 4 is every aspect of setting up the tent, the tabernacle, all of that's assigned, every single tent peg, all the tent coverings, all the boards, the frame, the curtains, all of it could be set up and taken down in a matter of a few hours. It would have come together, you know, like a puzzle whenever they set up camp. Everyone had his place of service. The guy who drove in that tent peg was just as critical as the guy who hung the curtain in the holy place. By the way, this is a great illustration of the church in this New Testament dispensation. Every believer has a part to play. Every believer has a gift to use in service as we work together in worshiping the Lord and offering the world an opportunity to join us in genuinely worshiping God through Jesus Christ. Now, let me pull these four chapters together and see if we can get past all the numbers and all the details down to where we live. First of all, I want you to notice how God gave them just the right amount of information before they left on their journey. Now, no doubt they might have wanted more information. They wanted to, you know, to know what was ahead. I can imagine God is numbering them for battle. What's that going to be like? But God gave them enough information to get started. Beloved, you might want more information from the Lord right now about your own walk of faith, some answer about the next step. But God never lets you see around a corner, does he? And the Christian life has a lot of corners you can't see around until, well, you get there. Well, just like the Israelites, you trust God to give you just enough information to take just the next step. Secondly, during Israel's journey, every time they began a new day, I love the fact that they faced the sanctuary, the tabernacle of God. That's a great reminder for us. Never walk out our front door each day. In fact, don't get out of bed without looking to the Lord for wisdom and direction. I'm reminded of that great hymn of the faith that calls us to depend on our gracious Lord. He's faithfully leading us around every corner in life, and it goes like this. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Lesson 66 in the Wisdom Journey, a lesson Stephen called More Than Arithmetic. There's several possible ways that you might be listening to these lessons each day. For those who want it, we send an email with a direct link to each episode that we release. Visit wisdomonline.org to learn more and sign up to receive these lessons in your inbox. Join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.